And you know, we can be here in God's love wherever we are, whether we're at home, whether we're here at church, in the car. It doesn't matter where you are. God is everywhere. And so you can always be in God's presence and in God's love. The problem is sometimes we want to be other places. We think other things are more important sometimes because maybe we're cooped up in the house and it's like, I want out of here. And so maybe if we're in the house and in God's presence, we won't need to be somewhere where not really it's good for us to be. But being out in the sunshine, being out exercising and so forth, and I know when our church opens back up, Body of Christ will be out there together as well. So we'll have opportunities certainly to be together. This morning I'm going to go to John chapter 21 because I think this is great lessons in where some of us are and want to be and where God wants us to be don't always match up. So I think it's important for us to constantly know what God wants for us. And God always wants what's best for us and our other people. And God has purposes for all of our lives. And so rather than doing what we think is important, we want to always say, what does God think is important first? And that's what we're here to always do. And I believe when you do that, you'll be so much more fulfilled. So John 21, we're going to pick up the story of Jesus' resurrection still. And we're going to look at some of the disciples and see how it fits with us. John 21, verse 1. Later, Jesus appeared again to his disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana, Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, the disciples saw Jesus on the beach, but they couldn't see who he was. He called out, friends, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw out your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll get plenty of fish. So they did. And they couldn't draw in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and swam ashore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 300 feet. When they got there, they saw a charcoal fire was burning and fish were frying over it, and there was bread. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. And no one dared ask him if he really was the Lord, because they were sure of it. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. So you got to get the picture. Now, if you know the other stories that we've talked about throughout our Easter season, when the resurrection of Christ happened, if you remember, Jesus said, well, the angel said, go to Galilee to the mountain there and Jesus will meet you there. So that was the instruction that the angel had given Mary Magdalene when she saw the angels at the tomb. But where do we find the disciples? Peter is fishing, gone fishing. So there he is. You know, he's got his fishing outfit on. This is my fishing outfit, I must say. And my fishing hat with my Florida flamingo on it to go with. He is gone fishing. He's not waiting on the mountain because you know Peter. We all know who Peter is, right? Mr. Impetuous and Mr. Impatient. Not like any of us, right? And so he's gone fishing. But not only that, He manages to take some of the other disciples with him, and they go fishing. And of course, they don't obey God. They don't stay on the mountain. They don't stay there waiting for God. They go fishing. And what we see with Peter especially is, remember, he had denied Christ. The last time we hear of Peter prior to running to the tomb is when he denied Christ three different times. And so we know, and I believe, Peter is thinking, there's no point in staying on the mountain. Jesus is going to want nothing to do with me. And he knew he failed, and he knew he disobeyed, and he knew he denied Christ. So he goes back to his original job as a fisherman. Now, if you remember the first time that Jesus met Simon Peter, it was also by the Sea of Galilee. He was also fishing at that time and caught nothing. And at the same time, Jesus said, throw the net over the other side of the boat, go deeper, go farther. And the catch was so full, if you remember. And Peter says, get away from me, I'm a sinful man. Right off the bat, we know that Peter has some self-esteem issues, to say the least. But what does Jesus say to him at that moment? He says, I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. Right then and there, the very first time that Jesus met Simon Peter, while he was a fisherman, Jesus had a calling on him, for him to fish for people, to go out and be a disciple, to be an apostle, to be a follower of Christ, to be the one that would preach the good news much later after his ministry, or Jesus' ministry, I should say. So 3 years Peter spent with Jesus, watching Jesus' miracles, watching everything he could do. But when the push came to shove, at the time of Jesus' death is when Peter let Jesus down. And so as a result, he thought in his mind that he could not be accepted by Christ. He figured, I'm sure, forget about fishing for people. Forget about ministry. Forget about everything Jesus taught me. Forget about all those miracles. I failed miserably. I'm going to go back to what I know, fishing. And he takes the other disciples with him. Now, the problem with that kind of mindset, when someone thinks that they failed so much that God can't use them, they can take other people along for the ride to the wrong place. We can all get led by, if we feel our failures are the reasons God can't use us, well, in my mind, nobody could ever be used. Because each and every one of us are human. We're all fallible. And so we see Peter, instead of being on the mountain, he's probably thinking, as the other disciples did, Jesus wasn't going to show up. Jesus wasn't going to fulfill the ministry that really he had promised. And Peter certainly wasn't going to be used by God anymore. Back to fishing he went. However, he wasn't so good at fishing this time any more than he was the first time Jesus met him. Because what we see is without Jesus, Peter could do nothing. Yes, he had a profession of fishing, but to be able to catch the magnitude of the fish, as well as catch people's lives, which is what Jesus wanted him to do, and that's God's calling on Peter's life, without Jesus showing up, he couldn't do anything. So that tells us about us as well. For those of us that have fallen and failed and don't always do the right thing and make mistakes, we could kind of go back to the old life we used to have because it's maybe easier. Or we could take off the fishing gear like Peter did when he saw it was the Lord. And then he realized, wait a minute, I really do and I really am called to be used by God in a special way. I've already got a bad hair day going on, so it doesn't really matter what the hat, right? It probably is an improvement. But you notice what transpires when in the seventh verse, it says, Simon Peter heard that it was, when he heard it was the Lord, he put on his tunic. He had his fishing gear on, and as soon as he realized it was the Lord and Jesus was there, He stripped from the waist down. That's how they used to fish. So instead, he puts on his clothing and runs into the shore. And what we see is a beautiful example of who Christ is towards Peter, towards those disciples, and toward us all. When Jesus sees Peter coming to the shore, you notice what is already there prepared. He says, now come and have some breakfast. Jesus still continues to serve and provide. Jesus didn't need the 153 fish that Peter had caught, because Jesus already had fish and bread ready and prepared. So although those 153 large fish that were caught represent all the different ethnicities of fish or species of fish, it also represents all people as well. All the various nationalities of all people, 153, were represented in those fish. Meaning, bring all the fish, bring all the people to me. Because we're looking at it literally, but symbolically as well. And there's Jesus sitting there saying, come and eat. That's the way God provides. Even though we know we can provide for ourselves and we have means to do so, the only way to catch something really huge and big in all of our lives beyond us is by Jesus being in the midst of it. And know this, even though you might have not followed Christ up until this point or did some mistakes or started along the way serving God and then kind of lost interest or whatever the case might be, or maybe you promised God something and didn't deliver, and or maybe you continue to have problems in your own personal life of the parts of you that are not like Christ and you think God can't use you. I think Peter and all the other disciples are perfect examples of God sustaining and reinstating all of us all the time. We always get another chance to continue the ministry that God's called us to do and be. And so the next thing that transpires after this breakfast that Jesus provides, the great provider. So whatever you need, God's going to provide it. So we don't always have to work so hard at making things happen. God will make it happen for us because that's the kind of God we have. But also right after this, Jesus sits down with Peter by himself. And then verse 15, after breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? More than these fish? More than these other disciples? More than these things that you're so worried about of being unworthy? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. And he repeats this three different times to Peter. So he tells Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep. In other words, Peter, put away your fishing gear. Your days of fishing are over. You're going to instead not only fish for people, go looking for people wherever they are. You just go out there with me as your guide and as the one that's within you by the Holy Spirit. You're going to bring my love, my forgiveness, my grace to everybody, whoever it is. 153 species of all humanity, if you will. Reach out to everybody with God's love. And when I give you my lambs, Jesus is the shepherd, we know. He's the good shepherd. But Jesus entrusts to Peter all of his sheep, his flock. And so Peter, in a sense, became the very first new shepherd, another shepherd, another pastor, if you will, because pastors are called to be shepherds of the lambs and the sheep. And so what we see transpire here is even though those disciples couldn't wait on the mountaintop for Jesus, their impatience and impetuousness, which is, of course, part of Peter's personality, he couldn't wait there on the mountain, but Jesus knew exactly where he'd be. And that's the thing about God. God knows exactly where we are at any given moment in our lives. He knows when we doubt. He knows when we're afraid. He knows when we're weak. He knows when we're tired. He knows when we're feeling hopeless. He knows when we know we failed and we feel guilt and shame and remorse. He knows when we've messed up and feel unworthy of being someone that God could use. He knows all about that. But what does Jesus do? He meets us exactly where we are, no matter where we are at the time. And so what we can learn from all this is a couple of things. One, if God tells us to wait on the mountaintop, let's wait on the mountaintop. Let's not just go back to and go fishing and do something just because we're bored and we want to get out of the house, if you would. If God says stay, we stay. If God says go, we go. If God says wait, we wait. It's just that simple. However, even if we leave the mountaintop and we decide I'm going fishing, Jesus shows up. God is going to show up and say, wait a minute, okay, let's get back focused. What are you here to do and be? And each and every one of us, regardless of where we are in our life's journey, All of us, I believe, especially as Christians, all of us are called to be fishers of people. All of us are called to help take care of the sheep and the lambs. Jesus said, love one another as I loved you. He told that to all of those disciples at that same table, not just Peter. And so each of us must give care to others. That's what we're here for. So that's why we join each other in prayer. That's why we reach out to one another. That's why when someone starts heading in a wrong direction and maybe starts to get lost or feel as though they can't be used by God, we're here to encourage and say, wait a minute, it's okay. We know you made a mistake. God forgives you, and you can start again now. You can always, always, always have another beginning. You can always have another start. You can always have another chance. You can always go back to God at any given moment. Rather than going back to what we knew and what maybe we thought served us, God has something greater for us. And so we don't want to just revert back to what used to be. And I got a feeling that even with this pandemic that we're seeing, people are talking about the new normal. Well, I don't want a normal. I want something greater than that. I think God has even greater plans for all of us, because normal, the same old, doing things the same old way all the time, only fishing all the time, that's a pretty boring life if you ask me. As much as I like playing and much as I like goofing around and things of that nature, and I love eating desserts, that's not the only thing that'll sustain us. We need more than that, and we need one another, and there's nothing more important than bringing people into a relationship with God. People that didn't have one, who didn't think they could have one, people that used to have one and think they can't now. This is the opportunity for a brand new beginning for all of us to really help people understand that we have a loving God, that we have a God who, even through difficult times, is faithful, is caring, is providing, is loving us and taking care of us. And God will take care of us all the way through eternity. And that's the thing that people have to know, that God loves them so much that even when they make mistakes, God will still accept them back into the family of God. And so what I see out of these scriptures this morning is I believe that God doesn't want us going back to the way things used to be. Maybe we took things for granted. Maybe, I mean, I don't know about you, but church is kind of important right now to a lot of people. And I think for us pastors, not seeing our congregation, it's suddenly become like, whoa, where is everybody? We're really missing people so much, realizing that that personal connection with one another is what church is all about, the interactions with one another and caring for one another and taking care of each other and loving. It just fills us all up. And meeting the emotional, physical, and spiritual needs of others is what God has called us all to do and be. So we know that life is precious. We know that losing people is awful. But when we know that losing someone who now is with our Lord, that gives us solace and gives us peace. And that's why it's so important that we help people have a relationship with God and with Jesus Christ, so that they know in their time of parting this earth, they know where they're going, and Jesus receives them into his kingdom. So I guess I'm saying that to say this. We don't need to be so impatient and thinking about going back to the way things were. Let's think about what's God going to make of this world in light of what we're going through. How much better will it be because people love and care about each other more? Perhaps those divisions that are currently here, we begin to start to understand in all of our humanity, we're all alike and we all hurt and we all have pain, and any one of us could die in any given moment, but also all of us can live at any given moment as well. I think this is an opportunity for all of us to really look at people in a different way, to see them as God sees them, as people he died for, love so much that he died for them, that we also love them just as much as well. And so we can go fishing, or we can go following Christ. In fact, the very last thing that Jesus says to Peter is, follow me. And so we know that that's exactly what Peter ended up doing. And maybe it took that time of failure and that time of restoration for Peter to get a new lease on life and to realize, you know what? My life is not about fishing. My life is about serving God. My life is about reaching out and loving others and taking care of Jesus' people. And Peter, we know, became a great and awesome apostle and pastor as a result of that. So for each and every one of us, wherever we are on this life journey, my prayer is today that you reflect upon who you are and how God can use you. What has God called you to do and be? What are the unique gifts and talents that you have that nobody else on the planet has that God can use to benefit other people? And even if you don't think you're worthy, God knows you're worthy, and God wants and made you worthy. And God wants you to serve and love others just the way he did. So instead of us being impatient and or because we don't change fast enough, we may sometimes revert back to our old ways. Let's just keep on the path moving forward, following Christ, seeing where he leads. He may just show up in the middle of your life right when you need him most, when you can't solve that problem, when you don't know how to make things work. God will inspire you through creative thought, something you might read or see, some inspiring, awesome sermon like you always hear, or some other method that God reaches out and touches you through. Anyone who is following God can be used by God to give you words of wisdom. And God will tap you on the shoulder and say, here, have some breakfast. I made it for you. I'm taking care of you. And that's the kind of God we have, a God who wants to meet with us, a God who wants to commune with us, a God who wants to serve us rather than be served. What an awesome God we serve. And so my challenge again is to all of us, let's not go back to the old ways in which we lived and the way in which we even minister or ministry or chose to serve God. Let's think about what can we do now differently that's even greater, more challenging, different, and helps us grow to become even more for God. Amen? Amen.